School Certificate in Philosophy Teacher Training. This podcast will provide a short introduction to the main elements of the School Certificate in Philosophy. Firstly, planning a scheme of work. The outline scheme of work, which you can find on the NCH website, breaks the School Certificate in Philosophy course down into three main stages. So the foundations are provided by a series of lessons that we've called foundational knowledge. These are followed by a series of lessons or assignments called philosophical debates, and finally students engage in a personal philosophy project. The main principle behind this approach is that before students get into their project, we expect them to have been taught some core philosophical knowledge and some skills that will the skills that will enable them to engage in work on their project. So the foundational knowledge and the philosophical debates provide the underpinnings from which students can then go on to work on their own project. Now, in terms of an approach, whilst you can teach much of this material in the classroom, it's also a good idea if you have access to an online platform to use this mode of delivery to support students. The online platform has the benefit, of course, of personalising the learning experience and allowing students to work both in class and outside of the classroom, and also provides you, the teacher, with an ideal way of tracking and monitoring progress. So a variety of platforms are available, Google Classroom, Microsoft Teams, other versions that you may well already be using, and any of these would provide an excellent basis for organising the teaching and support for students on this programme. One other element that's important is that we've advocated a structured approach to the project itself, so that when students begin project work, there's a planning phase, then a research phase, then a phase of developing their own ideas, and finally a review of their project work. And to assist with the planning, you'll find on the website a pro forma document that can be used as a scaffold for the project, which takes them through these main stages. We've also built into the course freedom for students to develop work using a variety of different outcome types, so that they may choose to write a report, but they could also work towards giving a presentation, making a film, doing a podcast, or even creating philosophical work in an artistic form in a sketchbook. So there is no prescribed mode of engagement, provided that the work they do can be seen to provide evidence that they've met the points made in the marking criteria, then these different outcome types are all equally permissible. One thing that is important is that if students are doing a creative project, that as well as the final outcome, be that a presentation or a film or a podcast, there is also evidence of the process that they followed. So they should, for example, use the project pro forma as a place to record their ongoing research and perhaps also to document their decision making and their thinking as they work towards the development of their final presentation. So we would not expect that the project would simply be, for example, PowerPoint slides, but it could be that they do a final presentation which has been backed up by evidence in the performer of planning and development. Now, if you look at the resources section of the NCH School Certificate in Philosophy website, you'll see there that we've put some resources, some slides and notes to support the philosophical foundations, which is typically going to be the first phase of the programme. And the aim here is simply to give a framework of philosophical ideas so that students can actually begin to understand a little bit about what philosophers do and how they think and the kind of questions that they ask. The material that's there is not mandatory, and you're very welcome to add to it or to adjust the content, provided of course that the themes that you address include broadly philosophical ideas. So this means questions about reality, the nature of reality, questions about knowledge, epistemology, questions about ethics and value. Those are the elements that we want to introduce students to primarily, and the material that's provided is one way into that, although, as I've said, other options are available. We also want to encourage right from the outset that students get involved in discussion and debate. So the mode of learning shouldn't simply be chalk and talk from the teacher, but rather introductory material should be provided, and then, as you'll see from the slides, we've included lots of points where students can respond to that by getting involved in classroom discussion or debate. And one mode of debate and discussion that works very well is to use an online platform. Online platforms have the advantage that students who don't necessarily feel confident in the classroom can actually engage more thoughtfully and can interact more readily if they have the opportunity to think things through, compose their thoughts, and then post perhaps a response to a blog or a thread that you've started. So make use of online tools to promote discussion and debate. One final point about the philosophical foundations. The SKIP course is not designed to be a lengthy program, and it's important to keep students moving through it fairly briskly. So don't spend too many weeks trying to cover everything about foundational philosophy. A few weeks of introduction, give them a framework, and then move on. The next stage that we've included following the philosophical foundations is called philosophical debates. And this material, again, if you have a look on the resources section of the website, you'll see that we've put it basically in the form of a series of questions that students can explore with some resource links. So we're already beginning to encourage students to start choosing. The idea here is that they probably won't cover all of these debates, but you might choose two or three of them, or the students might choose two or three of them, and they could work for a short period, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, beginning to research these topics, involving themselves in class discussion, and perhaps having some presentation at the end of that. And this material can be used very flexibly, so it can simply be that you cover some of these topics either because you've chosen or the students have chosen them, or you jointly decide which ones to cover. So you could simply work your way through those before you go on to the project, or you could use the philosophical debates as starting points for the philosophy project itself. So the idea here would be that students could pick a question from that list of questions, maybe research it, do some initial exploration, and then on the basis of that they could perhaps change the question a little bit, modify it, personalise it in some way, and make that the starting point for their philosophy project. So the philosophical debates section is designed to be used flexibly, and as I say, is a starting point for the project work. And it could be used in a variety of different ways. Once we get into project work itself, the key thing really is helping students at the outset to choose their title. And you'll see from the notes that accompany this presentation, I've put 5 or 6 points there which are tips for students when they're choosing a title. So one thing is that they should take their time over it. They should be prepared to change their title after a week or two if it doesn't sound like it's going well. It's good to have the title reasonably focused in the form of a question, not just an open-ended topic. It's good as well to keep it simple. Philosophical debates almost inevitably become difficult and complicated, so starting with something simple is a good principle. Evidently, it's got to be something which they can argue about, so a question where there is scope for legitimate argument for and against. And finally, something that students will find interesting and work that they do in a form that suits them. So if they've got particularly excited by a topic in the lessons, that's probably a good choice for them for their actual project. And if they don't want to write too much, maybe work on a presentation or a podcast rather than an essay. Once they are beginning the project, the project proforma, which is available for download from the website, has got guidance about the elements that we expect to see in a project, and it's got tips about how to proceed at each stage. So please encourage students to make use of that proforma. And really, it can be used in one of two different ways. One way is to use it as a scaffold or template for a final essay. So they could literally use the headings in the proforma as their main headings, write their material into that, edit it to make it look smart, and that will become their final essay. Or if they're doing a creative project in the form of a podcast, video, presentation, they could use the proforma as their effectively their work in progress diary. So that could be the place where they record their research notes and the thoughts and ideas that they're developing before they then produce the final piece of work. So if the project proforma has been turned into an essay, we'd expect it to be reasonably smart with footnotes and subheadings and nicely laid out on the page. If, on the other hand, the proforma has simply been used as a support for the final project, then it's reasonable that students don't spend so much time perfecting it. So the proforma can be in the form of their rough notes and their document that shows the journey of ideas rather than a polished final essay. Some other basic points about the mentoring process. Keep students moving on. It's important they keep up their momentum, and having a series of checkpoints where you can review their work or they can self-review their work is also a good idea. So break the project down into a series of maybe 4 or 5 week chunks, and at each of those stages check progress. So after 4 or 5 weeks, for example, you might expect that the initial planning has been done and there's some evidence of initial research. And perhaps after another 4 or 5 weeks, you'd expect to see that the development of their ideas has happened, and then in the final phase that they've polished up and reviewed their work prior to giving presentations. During the process as well, provide guidance to them on research techniques. On the notes here, I've put a link to a video where some guidance is available on how to use a Google Doc for research purposes. Other useful sources like EasyBib or MyBib can be shown to students, tools that they can use to help them create bibliographies and do citations. Students as well will be helped if you provide them or remind them about the basic structure for a project. So that there should be a planning phase, evidence of research, evidence of development of their own ideas, and evidence of review. There are some exemplars which we've put on the NCH SKIP website, and further exemplars are going to be added as the qualification develops in the coming months. As well as this training on teaching, there will be a marking guidance online session, and notes from that will also be made available following that session. Finally, just note the timings. In the cycle of assessment, we would expect to have entry data submitted through the website by March the 21st, and then a sample of work will need to be made available by May the 15th. And more details on the exact way in which the assessment process will unfold will be provided.